So I guess Sal would want a title. So, you know, from the moments when I've had opportunity to share, I keep asking God, so like, what's my take? What is my passion? And I think I finally received it. And that's not my title. But my passion seems to be practical Christianity. Christianity is a lifestyle. And somehow we've made it so complex. So many times I see that God leads me to share information that for some of you may be basic. But I do want you to reflect on it. Because God wants to tell you more about it. So if you wanted a title, it's God Speaks, Can We Hear? You know, God is speaking, whether we like it or not. The question is, can we hear? So the teacher in me decided to take you, for some of you, it's going to be a nightmare. So we're going back to biology. Remember anatomy? So you see over there that, and I intentionally made sure it was color so you can see it. I remember Minister Joe said, the tympanic membrane? I said, yeah. But no, we're not going to be quizzed on it. I just want to give you a basic remembrance of how hearing works in the natural, okay? So remember, if you look at that picture, there's three components of the auditory system, right? We have the external or the outer ear, which is what we all see, right? Some of us got it big, some of us got it small, but it's still there, right? And then we have the middle ear, which we don't see, but it's right inside. And that's one of the reasons why probably doctors do not like us to use the Q-tips, right? Because then you are kind of pushing over there. Now, within the middle ear is what we call the eardrum or the tympanic membrane, right? And then we have the inner ear. That's like way, way, way. If you're able to reach it, then you're causing damage. Right? So the inner ear, think of it as the place where everything is fine-tuned, right? So, you know, what is hearing? Okay? Hearing is basically your awareness of sounds and then placing meaning to those sounds. So when there's a sound in your area, like I'm talking here, your outer ear or the pinna gathers the sound. That's actually why it looks almost like a funnel, you know, so it gathers it. So sometimes we think if you have a bigger ear, then you can hear. No, it's still the same thing. So big ear doesn't give you any advantage. You just need an outer ear, right? So it gathers sound waves. Now, once the sound waves get into your ears or your auditory system, it goes to the eardrum, the tympanic membrane, and it starts vibrating. So the sound waves get it vibrating, and as they vibrate, they hit these three little bones, right? And then when they hit it, those bones also vibrate. And then eventually they get to your inner ear. Now in the inner ear, you have something called a cochlea. They are little fine hairs. And so as the information goes there, they are streamlined, and eventually it goes to the auditory nerve, and that passes it to your brain. So think of it. All of what I'm saying, I said it in such a long way, right? But everything I'm saying is still going through your ear and getting to the cochlea and getting to your brain. That's why you understand what I'm saying, right? So that is how God made us. Now, throughout today's message, I would be going back to this picture and talking a little bit about it. The analogy. Now, when Minister Joe was talking, he talked a lot about God who's the way maker, God who's the miracle worker. What is our testimony? We're justified. We're the righteous one. All of these factors are true. However, if you cannot hear God, it's not truth for you. You can say it all you want, but if you can't hear God, it's not truth for you. Think of it. If you have a hearing impairment or you're deaf, we could be talking to the wazoo. It makes no sense to you. Does that make sense? So you can be in church and hear church people talk about these things. Waymaker, miracle worker, testimony, all of these things. But until you say yes, until you decide, I'm going to allow my outer ear to gather that information. I'm going to allow my middle ear to keep flowing it until it gets to my auditory nerve. So let's use the auditory nerve as your spirit, right? So if you decide to lock yourself in a room where there's no sound, are you gonna hear anything? No. Think of it, you only hear because you avail yourself into a space where there is sound waves. If you're in a place where there's no sound waves, but there are visual waves, you only see, you won't hear. And so in everything that we talk about, we have to remember that a big part of it depends on us. It's not God anymore. You can't say, I don't see God as a way maker. I'm gonna say, well, do you even identify with him? Right? So let's start. I'm going to start you with a quiz. No, it's not a quiz. So I am going to say something in my local Ghanaian language. And I just want you to repeat it openly to me. It's a simple thing. Don't. Just open up, you know, your outer ear. Etisang. Repeat it. Okay, let's say it. Etisang. Okay. Now, I just want you to keep remembering it. Okay? It's not a bad word, I promise you. I'll never do that in the house of God. I just want, who remembers what I said? Okay. I knew I had a very good student body. So let's establish this factor. Many people ask the question, is God still speaking in our time? And the answer is yes, right? If we didn't even believe it, the Holy Spirit spoke through Brother Ralph today. If you really think Brother Ralph just likes to come stand here and say stuff, then you don't know him, right? He's a humble guy, does not want to be stuck out like that. But the Holy Spirit gave him something and he spoke it. Now, that means that his spiritual auditory system is alert, right? There was some information being delivered, he received it. Now, if you're already thinking, well, why didn't I use it? How come God doesn't use me? I don't have an answer for that. I'll say, let's open our ears a little bit more, right? So let's see how that goes. So the answer is yes, God is speaking. He's actively speaking. And next week, we'll be talking about the different ways in which he speaks. Because I think practically, many of us Christians have difficulty understanding when it's God speaking to us. But today, let's get our ears all unclogged first. God is speaking, that's the established fact. If we're not hearing, then maybe we need to do some homework. I'm talking. If you can't hear me right now, then you need to go see an audiologist or something, right? So that's what we're doing today. Before we point the finger and say, God, are you speaking? We ought to fix it and say, my hearing is open and ready. Okay. So I'm going to start with three scriptures. The first is Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And again, these are all scriptures that you are aware of, but we're trying to see them in a different perspective, the way the Holy Spirit wants us to see it. So Joel 2:28 says, it shall come about after this, that I shall pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, one thing we know is that God does not lie. The Old Testament comes to fulfill what was said. The New Testament comes to fulfill what was said in the Old. So if God says he's pouring his spirit, we know that he has done it. He is doing it now. Now, for us New Testament believers, we have no excuse. We're not like in the Old Testament where some leader had to go in a temple to hear from God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. So the question is, God is speaking to us on a daily basis. He has poured his spirit and he's speaking. Can we hear it? That is a big question to ask ourselves. And I'm asking it to myself as well. I'm not saying I can and you can't, all of us, right? Now, the second scripture that establishes the fact that God is speaking, we're going to read from the book of Job, chapter 33, verses 12 through 18. Job 33, 12 through 18. Now, I'm going to be reading it from the Message Bible. So Job chapter 33, verses 12 through 18 from the Message Bible. Now, many times we confuse verses from the book of Job and we say, God said it. Most of the stuff in Job's, in that book, was not said by God. Like people say, God gives and God takes away. God didn't say that. It was one of Job's friends. So let's get that in perspective. What I'm about to read is from Elihu, one of Job's friends. So Job was in a position where there were a lot of challenges and he was questioning and saying, you know, is God even there? I'm not hearing him, right? So this is what Elihu says to Job. But let me tell you, Job, you're wrong, dead wrong. God is far greater than any human. So how dare you haul him into court and then complain that he won't answer your charges? God always answers one way or another. So let's establish that. God always answers one way or another. Even when people don't recognize his presence, in a dream, for instance, a vision at night, when men and women are deep in sleep, fast asleep in their beds, God opens their ears and impresses them with warnings to turn them back from something bad they're planning, from some reckless choice, and keep them from an early grave, from the river of no return. So again, Elihu's message to Job still stands today. God is speaking. God is answering. Job was stuck in his situation, so he was not hearing God. Right? Remember one of the songs we sang, Waymaker? It ended up by saying, even when I don't see it, you're working. Right? So the fact that you're not seeing, hearing, smelling all your senses does not mean God is not speaking. So we need to take a step back. Why are we not hearing? Why are we not seeing? Why are we not feeling? And this is not to anyone in particular. It's to all of us. Amen? We have to choose to listen. I don't know about some of you, but I wasn't like the perfect child. There were times when my parents said stuff, and in my head, I thought, you can talk all you want. Right? Are we doing that to God? He's speaking. Are we doing that to him? The third scripture that I want to also bring to your attention is a short one from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Isaiah 30, 21. It says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. So the key thing is we have the ability to hear. Are we willing to hear? Are we prepared? So there is no question about, is God talking in today's world? Yes, he is. Is God speaking? Yes, in different ways. Are we willing to hear it? Or are we like the child who says, okay, mom and dad, you can just keep talking. Talk, 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 talk. Are you done yet? Right? If we have that attitude in our spirits towards God, then maybe that's what we're not hearing. Okay? So let's keep these three scriptures that we've read today, because next week we'll go back to it. We are establishing the fact that from the Old Testament, God said that. And if the New Testament, if Christ coming and the Holy Spirit being deposited in us is a fulfillment of the Old Testament, then yes, God is speaking. And yes, we do have a choice whether we want to hear it, listen, and be obedient. Amen? So remember I said that we did all that biology class because we're going to look at some parallels, right? So just like your outer ear, right? We got our sound waves. As a Christian, God gives something. He inputs something in you. It could be through circumstance. It could be through the word. It could be through what I'm saying. It's up to you whether or not you're going to send that sound wave through your middle ear. If you decide not to, if I start talking and you go like that, nothing happens. Okay? And that's the thing to remember. Now, once it goes into us, assuming it's in your middle ear, it's up to you whether you're going to cause that vibration. You need to meditate on what God said for it to vibrate. Remember, when the sound wave gets into your outer ear, if the middle ear and all those bones don't vibrate, it's not going into the inner ear. So see the inner ear as your inner spirit, the Holy Spirit within you. The thing that some of us say, something told me, right? I remember when I was younger, I would almost say, something told me, or I felt like. And people who were men and women of God would usually say, Susie, God is speaking to you. Why don't I said, no, I wasn't sure. I had difficulty separating my mind from the Holy Spirit. Now, I've grown up some, so I think that now I kind of get it. But it's something that we all struggle with. So now let's get to the crux of this. It's been established that God is speaking. Are we all in agreement? It's established that he's speaking now, today, right now. Okay. Now let's do some homework here. If he's speaking and we're not hearing, then maybe there's something we need to do to fix our hearing system. Okay, so throughout the rest of today's message, we'll be going through some factors. And if you look on the handout that I gave you, there's five factors that we'll be looking at. And the five may not apply, all five may not apply to you, but maybe one may apply to you. Maybe all five may, four may, three may. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Look at it as the Holy Spirit loving you so much and giving you this message. Take me out of it. Take me out of it. Anything you don't like about me, that's okay. We can talk about that. We can have a fight about that. But see this as the Holy Spirit. So one of the factors that we need in order to hear from God is that we need the right hardware. The correct infrastructure. If you need to go across a river and there is no bridge, you're not going anywhere, right? People who are in construction, Mr. Gary's in construction, they'll tell you, you know, if you could call them to fix something all you want, if he does not have the right hardware, he's not going to be able to do it, right? So let's look at that. You know, there are sounds all around us. God is always speaking. And we need to be aware and accept the fact that he's speaking. So once we establish that, it sounds very simple, but think of it. As humans, we need to accept to ourselves that God is speaking on a daily basis to us. Let that sink in. If you are where I used to be, I thought it was my mind, then you haven't reached it yet. God is speaking. Now, I usually ask people, duh, how else was God going to speak to you? This morning, God spoke to us through Brother Ralph, right? But he used his mouth. That's an infrastructure. He used his brain. He had to understand what he was saying. He spoke in a language that we all understand, right? So that's the infrastructure we're talking about. Now, let's look at some scripture. For you to be able to hear from God, let's go back. Brother Ralph, I'm sorry that I keep using you. Is that okay? I told you he's a nice guy, right? So for us to be able to even hear from God, we need to identify with God. See, we identify with Brother Ralph as humans. Do you realize that? If we were cats and dogs, we would have no idea what he was talking about. So there's an identification there. We're humans. And then we take it deeper. We are Christians. We take it even deeper. We are born again. We're charismatics. We believe that God speaks to us when we meet. That is why Brother Ralph could say what he said and we received what he said. So let's start with identification. If you are not yet identified with God, then you're not going to hear him. It's like a dog trying to understand human language. Okay? Now, let's look at some scriptures over here. John 10:27. John chapter 10, verse 27. And again, these are very common scriptures. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. It says, "The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me." Some of you know it as my sheep hear my voice, right? So if you don't identify with God as his sheep, then you're not going to hear him. If you don't identify with God as his sheep, you're not going to hear him. Now, identifying with God starts with receiving him, receiving Christ as your savior. Now, all of us seem like family, and it seems like we've all received Christ. But if you're here and you haven't, we're not going to make a big hoopla about it, but seek him. After church, if you want to ask someone the question, how do I receive Christ? It's a very important thing to do, to identify. Another scripture, which I really love, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. I'm not going to read all of it, but John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. We all know the story about Nicodemus, right? So Nicodemus is watching Jesus interact with these people. It's almost like the shepherd and the sheep are hanging out. And Nicodemus kind of sees it and he really feels like he doesn't belong. What are they doing? What are they talking about? Right? So Nicodemus at the beginning was not identified with Jesus. That lack of identification made it difficult for him to even understand what's going on. So you know what? He's a smart guy. He went to Jesus and asked him, "Hey, what's going on? What are you guys doing? Why do you do all those things? I'm really like an outsider here. How do I identify?" So in response to that, I'm only going to read from verse 3. So I'm at John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And you know that it goes on, "The wind bloweth, that which is flesh is flesh." So basically, Nicodemus was in a position where he was not hearing. He could see that these people are like a clique. they spoke a language that he didn't, but he was humble enough to go seek. So identifying emphatically with Christ is one way in which you're sure that you can even start hearing. If you're not part of that group, you're not going to hear. You may hear in other ways. It's usually very disastrous. But we're talking about hearing like you would hear from a father. Another factor that goes into the getting the correct hardware to be able to hear is being able to understand, to know and understand who God is and who you are to God, right? When we go back to that picture of the auditory system, each part of your auditory system knows their role. The outer ear does not behave like it's the inner ear. You don't see your outer ear cross over and go talk to your auditory nerve. They don't do that. Right? So for you to be able to hear from God, you need to establish a relationship. It's not just identifying, but establish a relationship and know where you are where you belong. What do they say? Be in the right place, right? So some of the scriptures I put over there, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. In the ESV, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So to be able to hear from God, it's not just identifying, but also developing a relationship to the point where you can call him Father. You can go to him like you go to your dad. You know how you can tell your dad's voice, your mom's voice? Very important. So unless we work as individuals in developing that relationship, we're going to have problems. Now, the other scripture there was John 8:47. So we're looking at John chapter 8, verse 47. Now, I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you, but that's why I gave you the handout. I expect that later on, you would read some of these scriptures and meditate on them and watch the Holy Spirit speak to you. So in John 8:47, it says, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." How simple can it be? Whoever is of God hears from God. If you're not hearing, then you're not of God. So if our relationship with God is not where it's supposed to be, we may not be hearing from him. Amen. Another one talks about being alert. So it's not just identifying and building a relationship. I can identify with someone. I can identify with Minister Joe. I have a relationship with him. But if I'm not alert, he may be trying to send a signal and I won't even get it. Right? So being alert is very important. Your spirit must be alert. You have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. So if in the midst of worship, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you have to be alert and know that this is what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that this message has to be shared with the group here. Now, each of us will probably receive something from the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be for you as an individual. So if let's say during worship, I get a message from the Holy Spirit that says that, "Susie, I'm going to fix your knee." It would be inappropriate for me to then go stand behind Brother Ralph, take the mic and say, "God said he's going to fix my knee." Everybody's thinking, nice, right? So we have to be alert to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we have to listen well to know if it's for the body at this time. I'm not going to read this, but John 16:13 talks about the fact that, you know, the Holy Spirit guides us into the truth. We need to be alert enough, right? John 6:61 talked about Jesus was alert, could discern. He could even tell what disciples were thinking. Can you imagine that? I hope that we'll be so sharp that we could even tell what people are thinking. Amen. So that is very important. And then knowledge and understanding is also equally important, right? So we need to study God's word. We need to study God's word. There's no two ways about it. I know that with the internet season now, we all like to do the shortcut and go listen to somebody's interpretation of God's word. Scratch. If you can speak the language that the Bible is written in, then go read it for yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to other men and women of God. That's okay. But read it for yourself first. Don't read somebody's interpretation without you reading it and letting the Holy Spirit talk to you. That is one of the main reasons why we're not hearing from God. We become dependent on other people. So we're able to spit all these scriptures, and then when you ask us where it is, we don't even know where it is. We say, "Well, so-and-so said this," you know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the men and women of God. They're doing what God wants them to do, but we have to do our homework. So very important. Now, Jesus relied on God. So if you read some of those scriptures, John 5:30, it's talking about how Jesus himself relied on God. So we have to rely on God's word and the Holy Spirit within us, right? We know Hebrews 4:12 talks about the word of God is living, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That is the only way we're going to train ourselves to be able to hear what God is saying. Amen? Now let's go to the second factor. So everything we've talked about is talking about have the right infrastructure. Now let's go to the second factor. Be in the right environment. Create the right environment. I get tired of us blaming everybody else. Well, the worship songs were not good. And well, they sing only old songs or new songs or hymns. It doesn't matter. Create your own environment. If you want to hear from God that bad, then create your own environment. Amen? Now, have you ever been in a soundproof room? Zina will know what that is, right? So you don't hear anything that goes on outside. So what do the young people call it? The noise canceling earphones, right? So you're walking, you could bump into someone without even knowing if you don't look because you don't hear anything. Ideally, that's probably where we want to be, right? So what is the environment that we need to create so that we feel like we're in that soundproof bubble and can hear God clearly? The first environment is you need a good soil. Think of yourself as a farmer. Or if I was a farmer and I said, hey, Miss Evelyn, give me some seed. Invest in my farm, buy some seeds. You're probably gonna ask me a few questions. Do you have soil? Have you fertilized it? I'm like, oh no, I'm just going to the Sahara Desert and sprinkling it there in the desert. You're like, nope, thank you. I love you very much, but I'll keep my seed, right? So if we don't create a good soil, we are not going to hear from God. Just attending church doesn't guarantee that you're hearing from God. You need to do your own homework. Now remember, there's a whole lot of scriptures like Jesus' parable talks about, you know, the soil and all of that. Let's look at one of them. In Mark chapter 4, verse 20, Jesus is now interpreting his parable. And he says, and those in the last group are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word of God, the good news regarding the way of salvation, and accept and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times as much as was sown. So unless you have the good soil, you're not going to get a seed. The seed's not going to grow. So you can, you know, and again, I'm not saying we should stop doing some things, but you can profess all you want. Right? I'm more than a conqueror. I'm healed. You can say all those things, but if you are saying it onto poorly developed soil, nothing's happening. Nothing's ever happening. Remember, the Bible says what? We should work out our what? Own salvation with fear and trembling. So if you're the farmer, you got to do something with this soil. Miss Evelyn's not giving you seed to put in the Sahara Desert. So let's work on cultivating our own desert spaces. I was surprised when I found out that most of Israel is actually in a desert area, but they've been able to irrigate the place and have some of the best fruits and yields, right? But it's because they did something about it. Amen? So getting a good soil is important. Now, we also want to make sure that we moderate the amount of noise that comes in. There's way too much noise around us. So I'll give you a little bit of information here. Now, did you know that as humans in the natural, it is only healthy for us to listen to noise between 70 and 80 decibels. Now, there's an area in our bodies that we don't really take care of. Did you even know that the World Health Organization has statements about hearing levels and what's appropriate? We don't go to the doctor to do that checkup, right? Right? But there is, it's a valid area in which healthcare is important, right? Now, think of it. So most of us stay in the 70 to 80, so we think it's okay. Now, let's see. If you happen to be in a natural environment that is way above that, it's too loud, and in the end, it affects your hearing. So let me give you some natural examples. And I was very surprised when I read, because I respect these people. So people who are firefighters, first responders, you know how the ambulance is always going? Subway workers, you are constantly listening to noises around 90 decibels. And it's just a matter of time your hearing is going to be impacted. We didn't know that. I was very surprised. And I read all of this from the American Speech Language Hearing Association. Now, let me give you another one. Isn't construction good? They do all these bridges for us, and they wear the hoods, so that we think that they are not listening. Well, construction workers are another group of people who the noise is too loud. Remember that it's recommended that we listen to 70 to 80. If you're a construction worker, the jackhammer, if you've lived in New York City, you know how it is if you're doing construction behind your apartment, right? It's 130 decibels. So it doesn't matter what you're wearing, right? Now, think of it. Till I researched this, I didn't even know that. I know I don't like noise, but you know. So if you're working in that environment and you're listening to that noise for about 8 hours a day, your hearing is going slowly. Now, let's put a spiritual tint to it. If you create an environment that is too noisy, you're not going to hear from God. It's as simple as that. You're not going to hear from God. We need to create an environment that moderates the amount of noise that we live in so that we can hear quite well. When Jesus was leaving, what did he leave his disciples with? He said, "My peace." Is peace noisy? I hope peace is not 130 decibels, right? So somehow, if we're not hearing from God, that means that the spiritual decibel level is a little way over peace. How do we mess the peace up? We bring in so many things that are not too important in the eyes of God, right? That scripture was John 14, 27, when Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind," right? So you can meditate on that. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, 6 to 7 also talks about, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So when you don't pray about everything, what do? You crank up your decibel level. So you are filled with so much worry that you're walking around here in 130 decibels. The jackhammer is just going. Jackhammer of worry is just going. And you're not able to focus. When it's so noisy, you cannot hear from God. Okay? I'm going to challenge you to do something. I know that everybody's busy. That is an overstatement, right? Everybody's busy. Even people who are retired are busy. I don't know how they get to be busy, right? But here's the thing. For each and everyone here, I encourage you to find your peace, your space of peace. It could be in your car. Doesn't matter. Sometimes I forget to turn off my music when I leave the car. So the next person goes in, I go, whoa. Well, you know, like I'm playing my Christian music and my windows are closed. And you know, hey, if I choose to, no, that's not good. I'm not going to say. I was going to say, if I choose to destroy my hair. No. But I really crank it up. I push out everything in my environment. So if you were ever driving in a lane with me and you were waving, I didn't wave back, that's why. You don't even exist. That is my space of peace. My kids will tell you, sometimes I get home, but I stay in my car. And now I'm going to tell the fib. Sometimes they think I'm still talking to a client. No. It's my space of peace. And when I'm not done, I'm not leaving. Create that space and take it. If you have to go into the bathroom, you know my issue with bathroom, right? People take their phones there. So why not create your space of peace over there? Amen? Unless you create that space, you're not going to hear from God. It's very important to do that. Now, our third factor is focused attention. So remember, our first was the hardware. Make sure that you have all the hardware, identification and all of that. The second was create that environment, the right environment for God to even be able to speak to you. The third is have focused attention. Now, have you ever tried doing too many things at the same time? I do that all the time, right? So you're watching TV, you're listening to music, you're listening to someone tell you about their day, and at the same time, you're cooking. Isn't that cute? You could do a whole lot. That's good, right? Well, guess what? From psychology, we'll tell you that that's not focused attention. That's not how God created you. If we want to learn from God, let's look at how he made nature. We will be talking about multitasking very soon. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So that means that attention is important even after we've been to church and we hear all these things. If we don't learn how to put attention together, we are going to drift away. It's a natural thing. If you look at the memory system, the thing that keeps us remembering is rehearsal. If you don't keep rehearsing something, you're going to forget, right? So I'm going to do the pop quiz. Does anyone remember what I had you repeat? And to say, okay. Now, if you forgot, that's okay. Don't let me know. But now that they said it, keep repeating it. I need you to remember it, right? So I'm teaching you to focus attention. If you don't focus attention, you're going to drift away from it, right? What are areas that prevent us from focusing attention? One of them is distraction. For many of us, we have very poor priorities, let's put it that way, right? Everything is important. Are you that person? I used to be. Everything is important. We say yes to everything. I know that we sang Shirley Caesar's song that says, I say yes, but he said to your will, right? He didn't say to everything, right? So if you have the habit of saying yes to everything, that is something that you have to start working on, right? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 21. It says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. God is actually telling us to be attentive to his word. If your priorities are such that by the end of the day, you don't even remember what you did, but you go onto your to-do list and you still didn't finish the to-do, but you feel beat and tired, reprioritize. I usually tell people, if you have a long list, do a 1, 2, 3 prioritization. One is it needs to be done today, like brush your teeth and eat. You know, those things are priority, right? Two is, it would be nice if it's done, but I could do it tomorrow. Three is, this could be done next week or next year and nothing would happen. So let's prioritize God. If in our list we're not able to prioritize God, that's a problem. I mean, I had my challenges. I have a very busy schedule. I have my challenges, but now I figured out either the last thing before I go to sleep or the first thing when I wake up, I do my listening to God's word. Reflecting on it before I even get out. Because once I get out of bed, a whole lot of stuff will meet me. So reprioritize it, especially if you want to hear from God. God's not talking to you if you don't prioritize him. Think of it. Do you want to be friends with someone who doesn't want to talk to you? It's as simple as that, right? Now, another thing that, and again, I'm being cautious because I don't want people to take offense. Remember the story with Mary and Martha? So Jesus was there, and Mary and Martha were in the house, right? So you can read it later on. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And then, you know, it says in verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. There's nothing wrong with serving. When we have guests, we got to serve them, right? But Martha was distracted by it. Martha made that the priority. Now, there's nothing wrong with if you want to serve God and that's your priority, that's okay. But you made your choice, be happy with your choice, right? So Martha then goes to Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Jesus is a nice guy. I would have said, no, I don't. But Jesus gave a nice, loving response, right? Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. If you make your bed, you lay in it. Jesus come to your house. Martha said, hey, I'll give Jesus the chips and dip. That's fine. But don't be complaining about Mary who said, I'll sit at his feet and get the word. Right? So if you see God use somebody, instead of getting jealous and start asking why God is using that person, ask yourself, am I being Martha? Am I saying yes to everything, overcommitting? And while I'm doing it, complaining, I think Martha would still be blessed if she knew her space and was happy doing what she was doing. Amen? So that's something to remember, prioritizing. Now, another way in which we don't have focused attention is when we think we're multitasking. I like when Deacon Caritha said it. Now, research in psychology shows that multitasking is actually a myth. God did not make us to multitask. It's just a cute thing that we say. And we say, oh, men can multitask, women can. My question is, who asked you to multitask? Now, what does the research say? Think of it. Is it easier to wear one hat at a time or to wear 10 hats? Imagine if I was wearing 10 hats. I'm moving towards you and the hats are dropping left and right. That's what most of us are doing. We start with 10 hats, but in the end, there's only one that's on. We should have started with one anyway. Research shows that when we multitask, we are only 40% productive. So we make it seem like we're doing a lot. In the end, you're not, actually, because of the way the brain is wired. You're better off doing one or two things at a time than six at the same time. Research also shows that we are twice as likely to make errors. So multitasking people make more errors than they actually know that. Multitasking increases your stress level because you're putting more pressure on your system than God made it to do. Okay? Multitasking causes us to make poor decisions. Right? Now, some of you may find it funny, but I still think it's funny. I remember when, and I don't know if Minister Joe remembers this, but I think it was probably Philippa that was a baby. And Minister Joe went to the fridge and said, did you put a diaper in the fridge? And I said, why would I do that? It was a used diaper, right? Up to now, I really don't think I did it, but there was only the two of us living, and it wasn't a baby. So it must have been me. So think of it. I probably was doing the good thing that all women know how to do, right? Multitasking. So I was probably on my way to the garbage, and then I remembered I didn't take the chicken out. So I took the chicken out, and you know how they say exchange is no robbery? I just put a diaper there, and I left. So that is what multitasking do. We're not functioning as well as we think we're doing. Please don't multitask with God. Don't be praying and listening to the word at the same time while you're cooking and watching your child do their homework. That looks cute in a movie, but in real world, you're not functioning well and you can't hear from God. Matthew 6:24 says that no one can serve two masters. Multitasking is serving more than two masters. You're doing several things at the same time. It says that you will hate one and love the other. Now, let's put it in everyday way. Your brain is not created to do that many things at the same time. So convince yourself to stop doing that. James 1:19 also talks to us about being quick to hear. Be quick to hear. You cannot be quick to hear if you're multitasking. How many of you get upset if you have spouses or children or parents who you pour your heart out and they say, wait, what did you say? And you want to say, give me that remote, right? So that's how good multitasking is. You really don't do much. And please, let's not multitask with God. Then we can't hear him. Well, another way, I know that our time's going a little bit, but I'm going to take a few more minutes. Another way in which we're not able to hear from God, still because we don't focus our attention, is we have too many clogs. Remember the infamous debate that Minister Joe was having with all these women about the plunger? Exactly. Right? He should have known that we are the multitaskers. We know the name of this thing. And even Dave said, you know, if your sin is a plunger, Minister Joe, just accept it. Right? Okay. But here's the thing. There are so many blockages in our life that causes clogs. So even when God is speaking, we're not able to hear it. Right? If you look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Now, a lot of the other scriptures left on your sheet are in the New Testament, but it's just restating that same scripture in Isaiah. So I'm not going to be reading it over and over, but I want you to emphasize on the fact that God thought that was very important, right? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying," this is Isaiah, "whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this to my people." So first of all, Isaiah must have been in a position where he could hear. I'm sure God was trying to speak to everybody. Nobody's listening to him. And Isaiah heard it and responded. Very important. But listen to what God said for Isaiah to go tell the people. These people keep on listening, but they don't understand. They keep on looking, but they can't comprehend. They've made their hearts insensitive. Their ears are dull. Their eyes are dim. So God is saying that to us. There are areas in which our ears are dull. There are areas in which our eyes are dim. And each of us has to find that area. Isaiah said, yes, send me. Because he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. Now, if you go back to that biology picture that I gave you of the auditory system. Now, sometimes, some people build a whole lot of earwax more than other people, right? Now, did you know that you can build thick earwax to the point that it blocks your middle ear? And you develop something called conductive hearing loss or conductive deafness. So there are some people who literally have to go to an ear, nose, and throat and get their hearing, their auditory system washed. That's what it is. So have you developed a spiritual type of conductive, you know, deafness? What is it that is clogging your ears that's making it difficult for you to hear from God? That is something that you need to pay attention to. There would always be some type of clogs in life. Are you willing to unclog it? And unclog it the right way. Okay? So each of us have what is clogging it. Let's look at it. Our fourth factor is good comprehension. Comprehension just means understanding what somebody was saying. Now, years ago when I worked out of Montefiore, I remember I had to test a gentleman who had Wernicke's aphasia. So the part of the brain that helps us comprehend what we're hearing was damaged. I mean, I was in my 20s, but I was just amazed that if I wrote down, say, here is the milk, he would repeat it, say, here's the milk. But if I spoke, here's the milk, or give me the milk, he couldn't do it. The part of the brain that was making him understand was damaged. Does that make sense? So we take a lot for granted. We hear things, we can respond. We even have the audacity to fight, right? Now, here's the thing, though. Let's go back. How many of you remember what I said? Etta said, you have a good memory. Okay. Now, if you're from Ghana, like Joe, Sandy, Masby, don't answer this. That's cheating. But I did a big cheat in here. Can anyone apart from these people tell me what etisem means? Okay, so they're thinking, listening. Okay, there's one person who is not Ghanaian, but knows it because I'm a big, you know, I'm the professor who gives their answers to some people. So Donna, what's the meaning of etisem? How are things? It's kind of like, what's up? How you doing, right? Deacon Rosemary always does that. He sees me and Minister Joe, he goes, etisem. I think that's the only Ghana language he knows. But, you know. But doesn't that make a difference? Because I told Donna ahead of time that I'm going to have everybody repeat something. They have no clue what it means. But here's what it means. So Donna has an understanding of it. All of you are repeating it, but you don't know what it meant. At least I promised you it wasn't a cuss word, right? So it's important to store God's word. So all of you knew etisem, you kept repeating it. In Colossians 3:16, in the Amplified Version, it says, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwell in you. And so that is, you need to go to the word and keep memorizing it, speaking it to yourself. Now, you can speak it all you want, but if you don't meditate and understand it, you will not be able to hear from God. Can you imagine God speaking and God saying, Zina, to say, what are you saying, God? Right? So, but God does not speak out of his word. God is not going to come to you with some language that you don't understand. So as long as you stay in God and through his word, he's going to speak a word to you that you will understand. Amen? Our last point is, willing rebelliousness. So some of us are not hearing from God because we have the correct hardware. We create the environment. We understand what God is saying, but guess what? We're just rebellious. Just like if your parents say, hey, make your bed. I hear you, mom, dad, but I won't do it. So some of us are there. It's an unfortunate space to be, but some of us are there. If we look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 8 in the Message Bible, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, it says, today, please listen. Don't turn a deaf ear in the bitter uprising. That time of wilderness testing. Even though they watched me at work for 40 years, your ancestors refused to let me do it my way. Over and over, they tried my patience, and I was provoked. Oh, so provoked. So this is God talking about the children of Israel. They were rebellious. Now, it's easy for us to say, these people are really like, I always used to say, if you're there and God actually is pouring like food from the sky, how can you not believe him? Well, God is pouring food from the sky for us, and we're not. So rebelliousness has nothing to do with the children of Israel. We are as rebellious as they were. And that is definitely going to block you from hearing God, right? In 1 Samuel 15, it says that rebelliousness is as sinful as witchcraft. I wanted to drop that in. So if you find yourself being rebellious to God, I know nobody wants to be called a witch, but you're typifying that behavior. What is it that God is telling you that you are unwilling to listen? Rebelliousness stunts your growth in Christ. You know what to do, but you don't do it. If you're a child and your parents keep telling you to eat and you don't eat, after a while, you get stunted growth. Do you want to be stunted spiritually? Are you one of those people who said, well, God has been dealing with me about this for 2 years now? Well, you are creating stunted spiritual growth. God's not going to keep telling you stuff if you're rebelling. Amen? And that's something to think about. I want to assure you that God does love you. God is speaking to each and every one of us. The question is, can we hear him? And if we can't, what is it that's blocking us from clearly hearing from him? For some of us, we hear him, but we don't understand it. And that may be because we're not dividing the word. We're not going into the word. Very, very important. I find it very humbling. When I felt the Holy Spirit tugging on my heart to share something about this, I said, oh, God, it's not like I hear you though. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, well, you're hearing me now. So I believe I'm being obedient. My question is, will you be obedient? Will you be obedient? And that's the most important thing. As many of you know, worship is my thing. So I'm going to have us end listening to Shelly Caesar's song, Yes, Lord, Yes. And as we play it, I want you to focus in. It's only 3 minutes or so. It's not that long. But I want you to focus in and ask God, what is the one area? We're not asking for two. You can only do one at a time. What is the one area that for this week I can work on so that my hearing system is cleared and I can hear you more? Amen. So let's do that. And after that, we'll say a prayer and call it a day. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.